Hey, welcome everybody. How you guys doing? Thank you for getting up early to worship with us. I want to welcome those of you that are online as well. Hey, if you have a Bible, open it up, or you have a Bible app, open it up to John chapter 16. We're going to begin in verse 13 in just a moment. Before we do that, though, we're going to receive our offering. And so if the ushers want to come forward, and as they're coming forward, you know, we're in the very first weekend of February, so still early in 2026. It's a great time to make sure if you're a follower of Jesus, I know not all of you are, but if you're a follower of Jesus, it's a great time to make sure you're doing your money God's way. Your money God's way, and part of God's way, obviously, is giving back to God a portion of what he's given to us. So I hope that you're starting out the year right in that way, and if not, if we can help you in any way, please let us know. It's something that all followers of Jesus are called by God to do. We're going to pause for a moment. We're going to pray together, ask God's blessing on the offering, whenever we give those offerings and tithes to God. And let's also just, each one of us individually, would you open your heart to God today and ask God to speak to you out of the Bible, and that he would use me to speak into your heart through the scriptures. So let's pause and pray. Lord, as we give back to you, whenever we do that, God, we pray that you would take the money that we give and you would use it to not only lift up the name of Jesus, but also use it to help people in real, tangible ways. And God, I ask for your blessing upon us in being faithful to you with our finances. And now, Lord, as we worship you by studying the Bible, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak very clearly into every one of our hearts. And I pray, God, that you would anoint me, that my words would not be mere human words, but you would use them, God, to bring you glory and to bring blessing and edification to those that are within the sound of my voice. So come, Lord, have your way in every one of our lives, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you were suddenly transported to an uncharted desert island, and you had a choice of one of three tools that you could have with you, either a compass, a Swiss Army knife, or a personal guide, which one of those three would you choose? Well, if you're wise, you would choose a personal guide, right? Why? Because the personal guide would know where, you know, what the territory was like, what the environment is like, where water was, all of that. Well, you know, the rest of your life and mine, whether you live one more year or 100 more years, the rest of your life is uncharted territory. You've never been there before. Therefore, you need a personal guide for that uncharted territory. And thankfully, God has given us a personal guide. You know who it is? It's himself. God, the Holy Spirit. We worship a triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Jesus said it like this in John 16, 13, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. See, when you become a follower of Jesus, the Holy Spirit begins to reside inside of your spirit. And when that happens, Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, begins to do all kinds of things inside of you. But the one thing that I want to focus on this weekend is the fact that he guides you by his Spirit. He wants to give you direction for the rest of your life. So how does that happen? How does the Holy Spirit guide us? I'm going to give you the two most common ways the Holy Spirit guides us. First of all, the Holy Spirit guides us by helping us remember what God has already said. Because the truth is, God has already told us most of what we need in life. You know, some of you are waiting to figure out what God's will is for your life, and you're wanting God to write it in the sky. Well, the fact is, God has already written it down. It's in a book, and it's called the Bible. And when you and I open the Bible and we begin to read it, it begins to guide us. And the truth is this, look at number one. God's will is found in God's word. God's will is found, for the most part at least, in God's word. Say it out loud. God's will is found in God's word. So the more that I read God's word, the better I begin to understand God's will for my life. However, even when we do read God's word on a regular basis, sometimes we have a hard time remembering it. And so fortunately, part of the Holy Spirit's job is to help us remember what's in the Bible. In fact, Jesus said it like this in John 14, "But when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will," what? "Remind you of everything I have told you." Isn't that good news? Have you ever been just going through your life one day and all of a sudden a scripture verse just pops into your mind and it happens to be a verse that you needed right at that particular moment? You know, that sort of thing happens to me all the time. I'll be giving counsel to someone, or maybe a pastor from another state or something will call me and ask me a particular question, and all of a sudden, just out of the blue, a scripture verse that they need to hear right at that moment will pop into my mind. That happens when I'm dealing with some sort of temptation that's coming my way. A scripture verse will pop into my mind. That happens sometimes when I'm up here teaching on the weekends and I haven't thought about this verse or studied it, and all of a sudden it'll drop into my mind and I give it to you, and oftentimes it's exactly what some of you need. Now, there's some of you here that never happens. Some of you are thinking, no Bible verse ever just pops into my mind. Well, why not? Well, here's why, and I want to say this lovingly. Look at number three. You have to get the Bible into your mind first before the Holy Spirit can remind you of it. So if you never read God's word, or you rarely read God's word, then there's nothing for the Holy Spirit to pull up into your mind to remember. So if you're here and you're a new follower of Jesus, especially, if you're a new follower of Jesus, as your pastor, I cannot emphasize enough how important it is for you to read the Bible on a regular basis. I would tell you on a daily basis. When I gave my life to Christ when I was 22 years old, I had literally never read one page of the Bible. I knew nothing about the Bible, but I fell in love with it and I began to read it. And I've been reading it every single day since. And it just changes your life, because the more you read the Word of God, the more you're going to know the will of God. So the first way the Holy Spirit guides us is by helping us remember what God has already said. Second way, letter B, Holy Spirit guides us is by inspiring ideas in our mind. See, when the devil gives us an idea, we call that a temptation, right? When God gives us an idea, that is an inspiration. You say, well, Brian, how do I know the difference? How do I know this thought that comes into my mind is from the devil or from God or whatever? We're going to talk about that at the end of this message. But the truth is, God is trying to talk to you all the time. Many of you just don't recognize it. In fact, I want to dispel a myth that some of you believe. The myth goes like this. Number one, the myth is, well, you know, God only speaks to certain Christians. You know, God only speaks to the superstars. You know, God only speaks to people like Billy Graham or Mother Teresa or whatever. That is not true. It's a myth. God speaks to all of us. In fact, how many of you, by a show of hands, are parents? Any parents in the room, raise your hand. Okay. How many of you have more than one child? Raise your hand. Okay, those of you that raise your hand, more than one child, do you only speak to one of your children? And you don't speak to any of the rest of them? No. I mean, unless if you do, that's a whole other message. No, we speak to all of our kids. Why? Because we love all of them. Well, that's the way God is. God loves all of us. And he wants to speak to all of us. But some of us aren't tuned in. Look at Job 33. It says, for God speaks again and again, though people do not recognize it. He speaks in dreams, in visions of the night, when deep sleep falls on people as they lie in their beds. He whispers in their ears and terrifies them with warnings. See, God often speaks in ways that are very faint. The Bible calls it the still, small voice of God. And if you're not paying attention, you won't be able to notice it. In fact, let me give you an example. How many of you are just going through your day, and all of a sudden you see someone, and they remind you of someone else? Maybe they sort of look like them. Maybe they don't even really look like them. Maybe their mannerisms just remind you of someone else. Usually we just blow that off, right? Well, I've found over the years, that's oftentimes the Holy Spirit of God giving me that idea that this person who may not look like this person that I know at all, but the person that I know actually needs prayer at that moment. And so the Holy Spirit is dropping that idea into my mind. And the Holy Spirit just wants me to stop just for a moment and say a prayer for that person. So the next time that happens to you, that's what you need to do. Just stop for a moment. You say, well, I don't know what to pray for them. Pray anything that comes to mind. Pray that God would bless them. Pray that God would encourage them. Pray that God would deliver them from temptation. Whatever the idea is. But just stop for a moment and pray for them, because most likely that's God speaking to you. Or another example, has God ever changed your mind about something? God has changed my mind about so many things over the years. How does God do that? By giving us an idea, a thought, an impression. You know, God sometimes does that in my messages. I'll have my message prepared. I'm going over it through the week. And all of a sudden, God will change my mind. He'll drop an idea in my mind of this is the way that he wants me to go in this message. And then I'll pray about it some more. And then if I feel like this really is the Lord, then I'll make those changes. And oftentimes, people in our church family, some of you would say, you know, that message today, Brian, it was like you were speaking just to me. Like I was the only one in the room. See, that is the Holy Spirit. He's given me what he wants you to hear. Or maybe I'll get an impression during the week of a certain group of people in our church that God wants to minister to that particular weekend. So I'll call them forward. See, I've found that that's God's voice, but it's faint, and you have to be paying attention to it. So how do I get guidance from God? I'm going to give you three ways. If you want God to guide you, first of all, letter A, is you have to ask for God to guide you. Do you ever do that? Do you ever say, God, would you guide me right now? Look at the way King David prayed in Psalm 27. Teach me how to live, O Lord. Lead me along the right path. So in order to get God's guidance, first of all, we have to want God to guide us. And then, listen to this, we have to be willing to do whatever it is God tells us when he speaks to us. And I've found that's the reason that a lot of people never really have God speak to them, because deep down they don't really want God to speak to them. And you know why they don't want God to speak to them? Because they're not willing to do what God's going to say to them. They already know what God's going to say to them. You know, maybe that's you. Maybe you're like, you know, I don't really want God to speak to me because I know what he's going to say. He's going to say, I need to stop sleeping with my girlfriend. I need to stop sleeping with my boyfriend. And I don't want to do that. So I don't want God to speak to me. Or I don't want God to speak to me because I know what he's going to say. I know that he's going to say to me again, this is where I want you to serve. And I don't really want to start serving. Or I know he's going to say to me, I want you to begin tithing. And I don't want to begin tithing. So I don't really want God to speak to me. Is that you? Deep down? See, for God to speak to you, first of all, you have to want him to speak to you. Second of all, you have to ask him to speak to you. And third of all, you have to be willing to do whatever it is God tells you to do. So ask God to guide you on a regular basis. And when you ask, look at number two, you need to be specific in asking God for guidance. Don't just say, God, guide me, or God, speak to me. You need to ask him specifically, what do you want God to guide you in? God, you know this situation that I'm going through at work right now? You know all about it. God, I really need you to guide me in it. God, you know the troubles that our kids are going through right now? Would you tell us as parents, what's the next step that we need to do with our kids? Or God, you know, where do you want me to serve in the church? Guide me. Be specific. So if you want God to guide you, you have to ask him. Second of all, letter B, if you want God to guide you, you have to read the instruction manual, the Bible, on a regular basis. You ever tried to put something together without reading the instructions first? I've done that multiple times over the years. And I'm bad at putting stuff together anyway. And then don't read the instruction manual. Just forget it. I mean, I'm so grateful we have two kids. One's 22, one's almost 23. I'm so grateful they're not wanting toys where some assembly is required, right? I mean, what a lie. Biggest lie in the world, some assembly required. But it's like the old saying, when all else fails, read the instruction manual. And God's word is his instruction manual. Look at Psalm 119, verse 9. This is one of very, if you're a young person especially, but this is a great verse for anybody to memorize. This is one of the very first verses that I ever memorized when I was a young man. Not that I'm an old man now, I'm a young man now. But when I was younger, you laugh way too hard at that, right? Psalm 119, verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to what? To his word. See, the Bible is our guide for effective living. And therefore, I need to read it on a regular basis. You know, I read that the Apollo space launches back in the late 60s, early 70s, they were on course, listen to this, less than 1% of the time. They were constantly having to call back to mission control to get mid-course corrections. Because of the way the earth rotates, the moon rotates, all that, they were constantly getting off course. Can you imagine what would have happened if they only called back to mission control once a week? Can you imagine how far off course they would have been? You know, but here's the thing. Some of you, you only get biblical input once a week when you come here to church. Many of you only get biblical input once a month when you come here to church. And then you wonder why your life gets off course so easily. You need biblical input on a regular basis. And the best way, the easiest way to do that, number two, is to set aside a daily time to check in with God. We call it a daily quiet time. It's where you get alone with God and you give God your undivided attention. And if you're just starting out in this, I tell young followers of Jesus, just give God 10 minutes. Start out with 10 minutes. If you start out saying, well, I'm going to give God an hour, you're not going to do it. You're going to get sidetracked. Just give God 10 minutes a day. Who cannot carve out 10 minutes? Just give 10 minutes of social media time up, okay? And give it to God. And I tell people, read the Bible for 5 minutes and then talk to God about what's going on in your life and about what you just read in the Bible for 5 minutes. But do it daily. Otherwise, you're going to so easily get off course. And I would also encourage you to read the Bible systematically. You know, don't play Bible roulette, where you get out a physical Bible and you play roulette and you just open it up and put your finger down and that must be where God wants me to read. And you read some weird thing like God spoke through a donkey or something, I don't know. You need to read systematically because if you don't, you're going to give up really easily. I would encourage you to read a Bible reading plan. And there's a great Bible reading plan, a lot of them on the YouVersion Bible app, which is a free app. It's a great app to read your Bible on. But if you want guidance from God, read His instruction manual on a regular basis. Third way to get guidance from God is you need to slow down. Slow down and wait. Wait for God's guidance. The psalmist said, "Be still and know that I am God." We have a hard time being still, don't we? I know I do. But I think the biggest reason that we don't really hear God speak to us is because we're always in a hurry. God's trying to call us, so to speak, and all He gets is a busy signal. And because we're in such a hurry, we don't really want to wait on God to speak to us. So what do? We just go ahead and do what we think is right instead of waiting on God to speak to us. You know, Proverbs 14:12 says, there's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Don't just do what seems right. Ask God to guide you. Now, I know a lot of people in our culture are desperate for guidance these days. And in a way, that's a good thing. But because they're desperate, oftentimes people look in all kinds of different places. They'll call psychic hotlines, consult tea leaves, palm readers, tarot cards, horoscopes, all of that. By the way, all of those things are very unwise things to do. Because when you do that, you're opening up yourself to demonic influence. And if you're taking notes, write down Leviticus 20, verse 6, Leviticus 26, or Deuteronomy 18, verses 10 to 12. That's what those verses talk about. Look at Psalm 25, verse 9. He, God, leads the humble in doing right, teaching them His way. If you will humbly listen, God will guide you. And what is humility? Humility is basically dependence on God. Saying, God, I don't have all the answers. I need You to guide me. I need You to help me, to speak to me. In fact, that's really what the Christian life is all about. It's about having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and then allowing His Spirit to guide you in the best way to live. And if you and I genuinely do that and practice that, God will make changes in our lives that we never thought possible. All right, I'm going to change gears for the last couple of minutes, and I want to tell you how to test if an impression that you have, an idea that you have, is from God or not. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 says this, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God." So what is John saying? He's saying, don't believe everything you hear just because somebody told you, well, God told me this. You know, a lot of people use that as sort of a spiritual trump card. Why are you doing that? Well, God told me. Well, how do you argue with God told me? So, also, don't believe every thought that comes into your mind, every idea that drops into your mind, every impression you have is from God. Don't believe that. That thought that came into your mind, it could be from the devil. It could be from your flesh. It could be from the pepperoni pizza that you had last night. There's all kinds of ways that we get thoughts. So how do you know if an impression that you have in your mind or from someone else is from God or not? Look for these five things. First of all, letter A, Does this impression agree with the Bible? Agree with the Bible. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. In other words, God will never contradict his written word, the Bible. He will never tell you to ignore or violate or blow off something that he's already said in the Bible, a command, a principle. So when somebody says something to you like, and I've had this said to me so many times over the years as a pastor, well, you know, pastor, I know God wants me to be happy. I'm in this marriage that I'm very unhappy in, and I'm in love with this other person, and so I know God wants me to divorce my spouse and just get married to this other person. And I'll say, well, has there been any infidelity in your relationship? Well, no. Has there been any abuse or anything like that? Well, no. Well, then God hasn't spoken to you. That impression that you have is not from God. It's just because you're unhappy and you're not willing to put in the hard work to turn this marriage around. God will never violate a principle that he's already laid out in the Bible. Second way to test if an impression from God or not, ask yourself, does it make me more like Jesus? If I do this, will this make me more like Jesus? Because that's God's goal for all of us. And therefore, anything that hinders that goal is not from God. Well, you know, I believe that God told me that I'm supposed to take a year off of church. No, God didn't tell you that. It's not the voice of God. Well, you know, I just feel like I need to work more, go to the gym more, whatever. And God told me that it's okay if I need to blow off my small group and blow off my Bible reading and blow off going to church because this is more important. God told me. No, he didn't. That's not the voice of God. Well, he'll understand. No, he won't. It's not the truth. James said it like this: for where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. Then he says, the wisdom from above, the wisdom from God, is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, and without hypocrisy. You know what James is saying to us? He's saying that anytime you get an impression or an idea and it causes jealousy in verse 16 or selfish ambition in verse 16, that impression is not from God. So that's sort of a way to check it out. And then in verse 17, he actually gives us sort of a checklist about these impressions. Is this impression pure? Is this impression peaceable? Is it gentle? Is it reasonable? Use that as sort of a checklist to see if that impression might be like Christ, might make you more like Christ. And if it is those things, and you think it will make you more like Christ, it probably is from God. All right, third way to test an impression from God or not, does my church family, and especially my church leaders, confirm this impression? You know, I don't know how many times somebody had said, well, pastor, I believe God has told me to do thus and so, move to this city, change jobs, you know, do whatever. But I talked to my small group leader, and they really think it's an unwise thing. Then it's probably an unwise thing. It's probably not God. And I've had so many people tell me that about their spouse as well. Well, I believe that, you know, that God is speaking to me, and he wants us to move to this different city. He wants me to change jobs. He wants me to plant a church. And one of the first things they'll ask is, well, what does your spouse say about that? Well, they don't really think that. Well, then you haven't heard God. That's one of the ways that God confirms the impression, whether it's God or not. Or maybe it's just the wrong timing. Sometimes it might be God's voice, but it's the wrong timing. Look at Proverbs 24:6. For by wise guidance you will wage war, and in abundance of counselors there is victory. So whenever you get an impression that you think is from God, but you're not sure, which is most impressions, what I would encourage you to do is to share it with two or three mature, godly followers of Jesus, maybe like your small group leader, maybe find a pastor on our staff, share it with them. And if they say to you, you know, this really doesn't seem like the Lord, this doesn't feel like something that God would say, then about 99.9% of the time, you're wrong. Because number two, the church is part of a checks and balance system for our own safety. That's why what I call Lone Ranger followers of Jesus, you know, those followers of Jesus who are not connected to any kind of church, they're not plugged in, are such a danger when they oftentimes try to speak into our life, and they're a danger themselves too, because there's no checks and balances in their life. There's nobody to say to them, you know what, you're off base there. That's why the church is so important for us as followers of Jesus. Fourth thing to ask about a save an impression from God or not, letter D, does this concern something that I am responsible for? Because if I'm not responsible for this, then why would God speak to me about it? Why doesn't God just speak directly to the person who is responsible for this? You know, you're on thin ice when you say, well, you know, God spoke to me and he told me what you need to do with your life. God told me that you need to move to this place. God told me that this is the way that you need to spend your money. You know, I've had all kinds of people over the years tell me things that God told them, that he wants them to do, that he wants us to do here at the Vineyard. You know, well, God told me that we need to stop singing these kinds of songs and sing these kinds of songs. Or, you know, God doesn't want us at the Vineyard to have coffee or sell soda in the church. Or I've had one person tell me, literally, God told me that he wants you to fire this staff member. Now, I'll listen, for the most part, to people who speak those kind of things. But if God hasn't spoken to me about it, certainly not going to do it. But I realize, number one, there is the spiritual gift of prophecy. There is. I totally believe in it. But be very careful about personal prophecies that are directive. Because 1 Corinthians 14:3 says that prophecy is mainly for three things. Edification, exhortation, and comfort. Those are the three things, not direction. Now, occasionally, God will use prophecy to direct people, but it's very rare. So if somebody says to you, God wants you to do this, God wants you to do this for a living, God wants you to quit your job and be a pastor, God wants you to support me financially, be very wary about them. If God has not spoken to you about it, then put it on a shelf and just pray about it. And by the way, this has happened in our church multiple times too. Listen carefully, especially if you're unmarried right now. If somebody says to you, God told me you're supposed to marry me, here's pastoral counsel. Run. Run far and run fast away from that person, all right? Number two, don't worry about finding out God's will for other people. Just work on finding out God's will for yourself. You know, God has been discredited so many times by well-meaning followers of Jesus who are just basically butting into other people's lives. And oftentimes it's about control. Again, people will tell me things that God has told them about what we're to do here at the Vineyard. And the first thought that comes in my mind whenever they tell me is this about control? Are you wanting to control the agenda or what God is doing here? And then I'll think, has God spoken to me about this by anyone else, any of the leaders in the church, any of the other pastors? And if he hasn't, then I'm certainly not going to do it. All right, fifth way to test if an impression is from God or not, do I sense God's peace? Do I sense God's peace about this? Because nowhere in the Bible does God say to rush into a decision. God does not work that way. In fact, the Bible says God is patient. Patient. So if you ever feel pressured to make a decision, when you're in doubt, don't. When you're in doubt, check it out. For example, have you ever felt pressured to buy a timeshare? I know timeshares aren't very popular these days, but 25 years ago, My wife and I would go to all kinds of timeshare representations because they would give you something free. You know, we'd get a free night at a hotel or free meal at a nice restaurant or something. And I am not lying to you, not that I ever lie to you, but every single time, I want to buy because they say, you have to buy today to get this price. I'm like going to my, we need to buy this. My wife's looking at me like, are you from Mars? We're not going to buy this thing. Thank God for my wife. We would be like in total debt if it wasn't for her. I'm so stupid at times. Paul said it like this. God is not a God of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. So, you know, if people say you need to do this right away, give it time. See if God's peace comes. Because I've found people will make snap decisions. You know, God wants us to move here. God wants me to do this right now. God wants us to have kids. God wants us to get married right now. Usually, that doesn't work out well. You know why? Number two, because Satan drives us compulsively. God's Spirit draws us gently. So those are some of the ways to test if an impression is from God or not. But God does want to speak to you. The question is, are you listening? Are you listening? And if you're here and you're thinking, you know, the truth is, Brian, I don't think I've ever felt God speak to me. Well, maybe you've never ever really fully surrendered your life to Jesus. Because Jesus says in John, 10, verse 27, he says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So if you never hear the voice of God, maybe you just haven't fully received Jesus as your Lord and Savior yet. And if that's the case, you could do it today. Would you pray with me? You know, if you're unsure if you've ever really surrendered your whole life to Jesus Christ, we could introduce you to him today before you leave. In a moment, we're going to have a ministry team that prays for people. They're trained to do that. They're going to be up here at the front. And if you just come to the front and say to one of them, you know, I don't know if I've ever heard God's voice. I don't really know if I've ever surrendered my life fully to Jesus, but I want to. And we'll help you to do that today. You can leave here today knowing that you have a personal relationship with Jesus. But maybe, you know, as we're in an attitude of prayer right now, just for these last few moments, maybe there's something through this message that God is tugging at your heart about. Maybe for you, it's like, man, I really need to start asking God to guide me more. I do what I think is right so often, and I don't want to do that. Just take a moment and say, God, I really do want you to guide me. Help me to ask. Help me to listen. And help me be willing to obey you, whatever you say. Maybe God is speaking to you about the scriptures, about the Bible. Maybe you used to read the Bible on a regular basis. You've gotten away from it. Maybe you never have. That's okay if you never have. But it's not okay to stay that way. Just make it a commitment to the Lord right now. Lord, I want to begin reading the Bible every day. Just 5 minutes. Show me where to start. Maybe it's something else that God is speaking to you about. Just say yes to the Lord. If you'd like somebody to pray for you personally about something before you leave, we'd love to do that. We'll have, like I said, a ministry team here at the front. We'd love to pray for you. I'm going to dismiss the service in just a moment, but if you stick around, we'd love to pray for you. Next weekend, some of you know, is Super Bowl weekend. And if you got my email, we want you to wear your favorite, jersey, the one that says Anderson on the back. No, I'm just kidding. your favorite jersey, and we're going to have all kinds of fun activities here. We're going to have a great worship service as well, but we're going to have bouncies for the kids and games for the kids and food out there, free food, all kinds of stuff. So it's a really great weekend to come, great weekend to invite someone. So make sure you're here for that. Would everyone stand or pray a blessing over us? And if the ministry team would come to the front. Lord, thank you for all my friends. And God, as they go their separate ways, I pray that you would bless them, keep them, cause your face to shine upon them, be gracious to them. Lift up your favor upon each one, God, and give them peace. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen. Say hi to a bunch of people on your way out. Pretend like you're friendly. God bless you. We'll see you next weekend.